But Paul, James here starts off, he says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy. Because you know the testimony of your faith, etc., etc. And I've always, in a sense, struggled with that. Consider it pure joy when you face trials. It says, because you know. So what do we know that would help us be joyful when we're in trials? This is what he's saying. He says, because you know. So what do we know? How would you, if I write you a letter and say to you, hey guys, be really happy because you're going to have problems. It's a strange thing to say, isn't it? Be happy. And if you haven't got any problems, I'm sure you're going to have some. But I think the heart of what James is saying here and the explanation of what he's saying here is because you know. You see, our attitude and our understanding of things changes because of the things we know. Just recently, I try and go swimming 3 times a week and trying to keep a bit fit, and I met a couple there. They're not Christian, but they're not really well. And just recently, the wife kind of texted me to say, we haven't been around lately because our daughter has been diagnosed with breast cancer. It's kind of really knocked them sideways. And they just began talking to them, and she's got to have further tests, body scans, and all this kind of thing to see if it hasn't. And they were really, the husband certainly was really down in the dumps, struggling to cope with it, waiting to have these tests and find out what these tests were going to say. And really struggling, so kind of their outlook was pretty dark, if you like. And then this week, she's had the test, and all the other tests have come back negative. And they say, you know, the cancer in the breast is very small, we can operate, we can deal with it. And I saw them this week, and the man was suddenly kind of had a spring in his step. Because he knew there was only a small amount of cancer, it hadn't gone to the rest of her body, things like that. So he was happy because he knew. The problem was still there, the initial problem, but you see his outlook, his understanding had changed because he knew some more information, if you like. So when James is saying here, we can consider it pure joy, or let's be happy, let's be a bit more joyful, because we know that when we face trials and tribulations, there's something else. Do you understand where I'm coming from? So what do we know? What do we know? What will help us in our trials and our tribulations? Well, there's 4 things. Hopefully we'll get up. I'll try and speed up and get through them. Robbie's saying don't worry, but I do worry because you want to get home and what have you. One thing, problems are inevitable. Scripture doesn't say if you encounter problems or trials. It says whenever. This isn't doom and gloom, honestly. And I'm pretty sure I won't get it wrong when I say to you, you will have problems in life. If you don't have any problems, can you just pinch yourself and make sure you're still alive? Because you will have them. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace, because in this world you will have trouble. Jesus said it. Jesus never said being a disciple of his, or being a child of his, is going to be easy. And I have a problem with people that preach the gospel and say, once you get saved, everything's going to be rosy, everything's going to be fine, and things like that. My experience is it's not, and I struggle. And Peter, in one of his letters, says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief of all kinds. So throughout Scripture, it tells us we will have problems. This is one of the things we need to know, that we will have problems. You can't, if you like, opt out of life. You can't say, I don't want that part of life. I don't want the part of life that says, I'm going to have problems. You can't say, I'm not joining the problem club. You can't say it, because in life, you will have problems. It's a bit like in life. You can't say, I'm going to opt out of the income tax club. You can't. That's life. When I was a young Christian, people used to... I met a guy who said, you know, I pray for problems, because I know when I'm in the problems, you know, God will help me, and it'll be a fast track to Christian maturity. And I soon learned you don't have to pray for problems or trials. They come along. There was a book written by a guy called Scott Peck, who was a psychologist, and the title of the book was Road Less Travelled, and it was a self-help book. And I didn't disagree with a lot of what he said, but his opening line in the first chapter was, life is difficult. So it's inevitable that we will have problems. It's part of our knowing. It's another, because we know we're going to have problems. It's part of our knowing. And that's why James says you can actually be joyful in it. The second thing we need to know, or another knowing, is that problems are unpredictable. It says, whenever you face problems, and the word face here in the Greek means to fall into unexpectedly. It's the same word that's used with the Good Samaritan when he fell among thieves. It was unexpected. You know, trials and problems are never planned, or very rarely planned. We seldom anticipate problems that we're going to experience in life. How many times, certainly for me, and I don't know if it's the same with you, when things crop up and you face a trial or a problem or a tribulation, I say, well, I never saw that one coming. I never saw that coming. It's probably good, because if we did anticipate it, we'd run the other way. But you don't have to plan problems, because they come along. Even silly things like a flat tire or a crisis, and things happen in church, and you think, I never saw that one coming. They're unpredictable. They're unplanned. So one of the things we know, that they are unpredictable. Another knowing, for we know, problems are of many kinds. He says, when you face trials of many kinds, they come in all shapes and sizes. In a sense, you never get bored with problems, because there's a wide variety of them. In a sense, they're a bit like, I would say, a bit like paint colours. There's a wide variety of them. You ever try to match paint or wallpaper or something like that? You soon realise how many shades or hues of blue or pink or beige there are. You go into something like B&Q and you get a paint card and it opens up and it kind of goes on forever, all these different colours. How many of you husbands, when your wives are around, you go somewhere like Blue Water and they want to match a scarf with a dress or a handbag or shoes, and you realise how many how many, many, many colours there are of blue scarves or blue dresses or blue handbags or whatever. Probably at that point I feigned kind of colour blindness and let my wife get on with it. But the Greek word for many kinds is literally multicoloured. So problems come in shapes and sizes and variety and intensity and duration. Some are small, some are large. We know that. All kinds of problems, more than the Heinz 57 varieties. There are many kinds. And we need to know that. And it helps us understand. But fourthly, and in a sense more importantly, and lastly, with regard to problems, and Rob has already touched on this morning, we need to know that problems are purposeful. There's a reason, because it says so that. There's a reason for the problems. See, when we pass through problems, and he mentioned Joseph, when we pass through problems and situations and trials and tribulations, they have a purpose. And I believe it's a purpose that the purpose is that God is working through them with us. And I want to suggest this morning, very briefly, three purposes of the problems that we face in our lives. So that there's a purpose. One of the purposes, I believe, that problems purify our faith. It says here, because you know the testing of your faith. And the word testing here in the Greek, it's the same word as where we test gold and silver, etc., by purifying it. People would heat up those precious metals and to get rid of the impurities, the dross. It was all burned off. And it's the same word here. Because you know the testing of your faith. And when we go through problems, sometimes God is just testing us. In Job it says, he has tested me through the refining fire, and I have come out as pure gold. With Job, it was a testing. So problems purify our faith. Our faith develops when things don't go as planned. It says of some Christians, they're a bit like a tea bag. You don't know what's in them until you drop them in hot water. And then you know. Perhaps they're like steel. They come out, once tested, they come out stronger. And some of you, I guarantee, if you're not going through it at the moment, you've broomed through it times. But God has tested you. God has tested your faith, and you've come through. And he's built more character into you. That's part of the reason. It's because we know. Part of the reason we know that when we go through problems and trials, God is testing us. But not just testing us, he's building character into us. He's building our lives. He's building something into our lives. So that. We become mature and complete and not lacking in anything. It's a purpose. A second purpose, I would suggest, that it strengthens us. It strengthens our patience. It says the testing of your faith develops or produces perseverance. And he's not talking here about just a passive patience, but a staying power, the ability to keep on keeping on. And the Greek here, it means the ability to stay under pressure. And that's what God is doing with us when we go through these trials, these problems, these situations. We've got some friends, and very often Joy and I will say they don't do pressure. So there's something that comes into their lives. They kind of opt out and almost disappear for a few days. You know, they, even to the extent that they might have a late night on a Saturday night, so you don't see them in church on Sunday. They don't do pressure. Some people run from it, we know that. We spoke today, earlier on, about kind of drugs and stuff like that. People hide from pressure by alcohol abuse or whatever. They get away from it. But God uses pressure sometimes to build us up, to strengthen us, so that we keep on going. And God wants to teach us that strength in our lives. The ability to stay under pressure. And thirdly, I want to suggest that one of the purposes of God taking us through things and allowing the trials, allowing the problems, because he wants to build up our character, build up our spiritual life. It says the testing of your faith produces perseverance, that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. What a place to be, not lacking in anything. And that's the reason God takes us through these things. You see, that's God's long-term goal, that we become mature, complete, and not lacking in anything. That's the bottom line, I think, that God wants to do in our lives. You see, he's more interested in building my character than making me comfortable. And God is going to take us through things, and takes us through things to build us up. Because he's more interested in, as I say, in our character and building us so that we become mature, not lacking in anything. That's God's aim. And you know, God will do that probably in two ways. Either through his word, he can teach us through his word. And in John it says, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. And in James it says, the word makes us like Jesus. So God can do it through his word, but he also does it through circumstances. And so if we are going through circumstances at the moment, look at it as though God is building you. God is testing you. God is changing you. God is building you. And that's his long-term aim. And that's why James is able to say, and time has gone, I will finish here. That's why James is able to say, consider it joy. Because he's looking at the long-term effect of the problems. We're not, you know, scripture says, be thankful in all circumstances. He doesn't say be thankful for all circumstances. But it means we can be thankful in them because we know that in them, as scripture says to us, that God is doing something in our lives. So that at the end of those situations, those problems, those trials, God is building us, changing us, so that we can become mature and complete and not lacking in anything. And that's why James is able to say, you can be, in a sense, happy. You can be joyful. Because you're going through problems. But that's not the end. That's not the end. God is doing something. This is what James is talking about. God is doing something in our lives. So today, if you're going through problems, let me assure you that God is with you. God knows all about it. God knows your situation. But as I read scripture, he's there for a purpose. That he's going to bring us through. If we walk with him and trust him, that he's building something in our lives, and we're going to come through the other side, in a sense, better in God's eyes than we were before. I want to encourage you with that. And I want to encourage you to trust him this morning. And help us to know some of these things when we're right in the middle of the problems, the trials, the tribulations. And some of those are what I would call real biggies. Real biggies. But God is still with us. And I believe he will bring us through. Bring us through to the other side of things. And you know what? When we get through one problem,
there'll probably be another one around the corner. Because he's dealt with that. He's built us up in that. He's changed us in that. But you know, as you know, I'm 17 now.
And I'm not totally immature. I'm not totally complete. And I do lack a few things in my life. And God's still got stuff to do in my life. But looking around this congregation, the same can be said for all of you. So, James says, consider it joy when we face trials of all sorts, of all kinds, of many kinds. Because God is working in your life to make us like Jesus. Jesus was complete. He was mature. He was not lacking in anything. And that's God's long-term aim for every one of us. So that we can work out and live out the kingdom life that he has for each one of us. And that will be different. Because the things he wants to do in your life are different from the things he wants to do in my life. Because there are many kinds. Many kinds. But God is working. I want to leave that with you this morning. Don't despair. Don't despair. God is working. And God wants to build us in him and in his kingdom. So that we can be more mature. Get close to the being complete, and so the things we lack in our life become less and less. God bless you. Continue trusting God, whatever trial or tribulation you're in. Bless you.